56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
We're about an hour away from rounds 2 and 3 tonight of the NFL draft. Right now, Brett Michaels.
No Brett Norsworthy, but we got
Khalifa,
Brett Michaels, baby.
Performing at the draft, which I'm not going to say who I thought it was at first because my age demographic of singers.
All right, I knew exactly who it was, but his name escaped me. But I got it.
You did because I said it was somebody else, and you corrected me. But I knew Wiz Khalifa. I did not know Brett Michaels. But a lot of talk with the NFL draft today as we are getting ready for round 2 to start in less than an hour. But we got to talk the draft with Max Chadwick. He joins us to talk the draft, and also we'll get to some college football talk with him. But Max, you were covering the draft last night. It was fun to keep up on social media and your breakdowns on all the players. Make sure you go follow Max on social media at CFB Max Chadwick. Max, how's it going? What'd you think of the first round last night?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It was chaotic. I think we had, 8 trades or 6 trades or something like that. It was a ton of trades last night, a ton of surprising picks, and honestly, to be expected, honestly, because of how chaotic this draft is. There's not really a lot of top-end guys at the top, so you could tell that a lot of teams had a lot of different boards than what the public thought the draft was like.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. I've got to ask you, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so I was really excited when Caleb Downs was still available. They make the trade to move up one spot. They take him at number 11. What are the Dallas Cowboys getting with Caleb Downs? And then that second pick, the edge rusher from UCF, Malachi Lawrence, what did you make of the 2 picks last night for the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, well, first off, the first one, Caleb Downs, what they're getting is the best player in the draft, in my opinion. I thought that was a phenomenal pick by the Cowboys. He's a guy that I personally would have even considered a number 2 overall if I was the Jets, honestly. So the NFL has proven time and time again they're devaluing safeties. Like, guys like Kyle Hamilton and Derwin James weren't even top 10 picks in their draft. Caleb Downs wasn't even a top 10 pick in his draft either. But I think he's going to be a superstar safety for the Dallas Cowboys and a guy that's honestly a perfect fit for that defense. Now, I didn't love the Malachi Lawrence pick, so I was in love with the Caleb Downs pick. Not as in love with the Malachi Lawrence pick. I think he is firmly a day 2 prospect for me personally. And I especially don't really love the trade with the division rival and the Eagles, kind of handing them what I thought was the best receiver in the draft, and Mekhi Lemon. You really could have screwed over your division rival who needs a receiver because they're most likely going to trade away A.J. Brown. So you could have said, hey, we're going to take Mekhi Lemon for ourselves because, George Pickens, the whole contract situation with him. So I personally would have stuck there and taken Mekhi Lemon myself if I was the Cowboys. But Malachi Lawrence is a really good pass rusher. There's a lot to work on in the run game, but he's a high upside player, but he's kind of a boom or bust player in my opinion too. So he's a guy that I personally would have taken more on day 2 of the NFL draft.
Max, my quick question to you is to piggyback on your Dallas Cowboys assessment of Caleb Downs. If I say Caleb Downs is the next Darren Woodson, what would you say?
Sure. I really think we could talk about this guy as one of the best safeties in the NFL, honestly. Wow. It's a position that it's easy to see who the next stars will be, but you think of all the best safety prospects that have come out of college in recent memory, and you think of Kyle Hamilton, you think of Derwin James, you think of Sean Taylor, Eric Berry, even Jamal Adams was seen as a very highly touted prospect, and all of them in some way or another really hit, honestly, right? So it's not a position where you see a lot of busts for the top-end guys. And I think Caleb Downs is one of the top-end guys. And I would put him in terms of guys over the last decade or so. I think maybe right behind Derwin James and right above Kyle Hamilton. I think Caleb Downs is on that level of prospect right now. We saw both Derwin James and Kyle Hamilton at one point in their careers was the best safety in football. And Kyle Hamilton probably right now is the best safety in football. I would not be surprised if at some point in his career, Caleb Downs is the best safety in football.
All right. Now, my next question is, let's go down to the Big Easy. I don't hear anyone talking about Tyler Shook and what the Saints did for him with Jordan Tyson. What are the Saints telling us about Tyler Shook when they go and put another quality receiver like Jordan Tyson on the other side of Chris Olave?
Yeah, I think what they're saying is they believe in their young quarterback. I was encouraged by Tyler Shuck's rookie year. I think it was a really solid rookie year for him, and they obviously want to build upon that, and they need to give him more weapons in order to build upon that. So I think the one question I have with Jordan Tyson, I think he's a phenomenal player and worthy of that pick. But the only question is, you already have one injury-prone receiver in Chris Olave. Now you add another one in Jordan Tyson. You better hope that both those guys can stay healthy and stay on the field for you guys, because you know the worst-case scenario is both those guys get hurt, and all of a sudden you're back to square one in that receiving core, too. So I wouldn't have gone with Jordan Tyson personally. I probably would have gone with Mekhi Lemon there if I was New Orleans, but I can't hate the pick at all, because if he is healthy and fully healthy, Jordan Tyson could be a blue-chip player, maybe the top receiver from this draft. But it is the health concerns right now that should especially scare a team like the Saints that are already dealing with a receiver with a lot of health concerns like Chris Olave. Mm-hmm.
Better stay healthy. You end up having Taysom Hill catching the ball.
Health is very important. Going back up to the top of the draft, picks 3 and 4, there was a lot of noise around Arizona going with the running back and taking Jeremiah Love at number 3. They ultimately go out there and do just that. And then with that 4th pick, the Titans take a receiver with Carnell Tate. What did you make of those 2 picks?
Yeah, I think a little surprising for both of them. And the thing is, like, Jeremiah Love, in my opinion, is the second best player in the draft after Caleb Downs. But I don't like the pick for the Cardinals specifically. I don't think they're in a spot to take a running back right now. I think that offensive line is still a major work in progress. They have Jacoby Brissett currently as their starting quarterback, but even he is kind of holding out right now, too. And you don't love that either. So I don't know if Jeremiah Love will transform the offense. I'm a little bit worried that he's going to a Saquon Barkley Giants situation, or even like an Ashton Jeanty Raiders situation, where it's like, man, I just don't know if it's going to work out immediately, honestly. I think he's just on too bad of a team, and I don't know if a running back can fix all the problems for that team right now. So love the player. He's worthy of being a top 5 pick like that, but I don't think it was the right pick for the Cardinals specifically. So the Titans, I understand it. I think Carnell Tate, they're looking for a big-bodied X receiver for Cam Ward, so I get wanting to build around your franchise quarterback like that, but I probably would have traded down from number 4 overall if you're really going to go with a receiver and, you know, gotten one of the top receivers later on in the top 10 if you could have done that. So I don't mind the pick for Carnell Tate. I was a little surprised by it. I really thought they were going to go with a guy like Arvell Reese, for example, at number 4 overall, but I understand the pick for Tennessee at least. I just don't know if Carnell Tate will be, you know, the true number one star receiver that they're hoping he can be.
Yeah. The big surprise of the night was Ty Simpson at number 13 to the Rams. Were you surprised? I know the conversation was, would he even go in the first round? Did you think he was going to go in the first round? And what did you make of him going so high at number 13?
Yeah, I don't love it for L.A. I don't even think their head coach, Sean McVay, loves it either, if you're looking at a lot of the press conferences and all that. I think it's kind of ironic because Les Snead, you know, back in the day when they won their first Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, you know, his whole mantra was F them picks. You know, we're not going to build for the future. We're going for right now. We're going to trade all the picks for guys that can help us win right now. And the irony is, right now, the Rams might have the best team in football, but yet they're drafting a guy at number 13 for the future of the team, not for the current state of the team. So in my opinion, that should have been a pick where they used maybe on a guy like Mekhi Lemon, for example. I know I've been mentioning him a lot, but I think he would have been great for that Rams team as a third receiver for, you know, alongside Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. And Adams is going into the last year of his contract. Puka Nacua, they're about to sign him to a big contract too. I would have built for now, man. I would have chased the Super Bowl right now, because I do think the Rams right now are the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't have drafted for down the line. Now I understand it, because, you know, Ty Simpson could eventually be in a couple years down the line your franchise quarterback, and I think Matthew Stafford probably only has like 1 or 2 years left in Los Angeles. But at the same time, for a team that I think is the best team in the league right now, I don't really love drafting for the future when you should be trying to maximize your Super Bowl window right now, in my opinion.
Max, we're on national radio here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we have to be diplomatic and be fair and whatnot. So I'm a 49er fan, so I won't ask you who the 49ers should take after drafting. Watch this. After trading out of the first round, I won't ask you who should the 49ers take with their next pick. But who should the first pick be in the second round? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, there's some really good players still available. And honestly, San Francisco, one guy that I'd be looking at is T.J. Parker, the edge rusher out of Clemson. I think he's a phenomenal player and be a great fit in that defense, too. So I think T.J. Parker could be really good. I'm very fascinated to see where Jermaine McCoy lands, because Jermaine McCoy, the injury history with him is really concerning. But, man, if he's healthy, he could be a top-5 player from this draft. So he's still available right now in the second round. I think where he goes is kind of telling of just how bad the injury concerns are with him, too. But as for a team like the 49ers, I mean, a guy like, you know, T.J. Parker or a Caden McDonald, the D-tackle out of Ohio State, that would make a lot of sense for them, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. We just talked about quarterback, two quarterbacks taken in the first round last night. When do we see the next quarterback taken off the board, and who is it, and what team do you think needs to take a quarterback?
I think we see Garrett Nussmeier come off the board sometime tonight. I think he'll probably be a third-round pick, probably a mid to late third-round pick right now. There are a few teams that could take him. You know, Arizona still needs a quarterback, or maybe wants to take a developmental guy behind Jacoby Brissett. The Steelers, I think, could really be in the market right now, too, for a quarterback as well. So I could see them taking a guy like Garrett Nussmeier. But I think we only see one quarterback come off the board tonight in Garrett Nussmeier. I think guys like Carson Beck and Drew Aller and Cole Payton and guys like that, they'll probably have to wait for Saturday to hear their names called.
Mm-hmm. The last pick in the draft last night, another Notre Dame running back, Jadarian Price. What did you make of that pick, and what is Seattle getting in that running back?
Yeah, I didn't love it. Now, I do understand it because they lost Kenneth Walker, obviously, and he fits the scheme, I think, perfectly. Like, they run a lot of outside zone in that Seattle scheme, and I think Jadarian Price is the exact kind of scheme you want him to go to. Mm-hmm. The problem was, I don't think the talent was worthy of being a 32 overall pick. I thought this running back class has a steep drop-off from Jeremiah Love to everyone else. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have taken another running back until late second, early third round, honestly, and that includes Jadarian Price as well. So I get it. For the Seahawks, you know, they want to replace Kenneth Walker, and he's a great scheme fit, but this is a Seahawks team that I believe only has four total picks in the NFL draft this year, and they lost a lot of players to free agency after winning the Super Bowl, so I thought that pick could have been better utilized on a different player at a different position, and honestly, a better player at a more valuable position, honestly, so yeah, that was one of the picks last night. I understood it. I kind of expected it, but not a pick that I'm a particularly a fan of.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. We talked about some of the guys available. You mentioned Jermon McCoy, the cornerback from Tennessee. The other cornerback from Tennessee, Colton Hood. What do you make of him, and what team do you think could fit for him tonight in the second round?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he's a really good player. He probably was, you know, worthy of being a first round pick in my opinion too. So, you know, it's ironic that both Tennessee corners fell out of the first round. He's a really good press man corner. So I think any team that you see play a lot of press man coverage, I think they would probably be really interested in Jermon McCoy. I think of a team like the Jets, for example, they could really use help in that secondary right now. I think Jermon McCoy could be a really fun fit there. So. I think any team that plays a lot of press coverage would be probably really interested in Colton Hood's services.
Mm-hmm. Eli Stowers, the tight end from Vanderbilt, fun story. What was he, like a four-star quarterback coming out of high school? They move him to tight end, played a huge role for this Vanderbilt team last season. What do you make of him at the next level in the NFL, and do you think we see him taken in the second round?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll probably be somewhere around a top 50 pick, maybe a little bit later than that. But I do think he'll find his way in the second round, and I will be shocked if he doesn't get drafted tonight on day two of the draft. But, yeah, I think he's probably the second-best tight end in the draft. He's a really good weapon as a receiver. He doesn't really bring much as a blocker at all, which is really kind of a big hang-up with him. But he's a really good athlete, could be a really good, you know, big slot receiver in the NFL. Kind of like if you think about like an Aronde Gadsden type of player that we just saw for the Chargers this past year, but I even think Stowers is a better player overall than Gadsden was coming out too, and Gadsden had a pretty good rookie year for the Chargers this past year too, so I like Stowers a lot. I think he is worthy of being a second round pick, and I do expect him to be probably a top 50 pick tonight.
The way you described him kind of sounds very similar the way that a lot of people describe Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end taken last night by the Jets, of kind of this, you know, downfield option, you know, kind of receiver first tight end. What did you make of Kenyon Sadiq going to the Jets, and what do you see from him at the next level?
Yeah, probably not the pick I would have made if I was New York, you know, obviously with Mekhi Lemon still sitting there, but I do understand it. You know, you get a downfield weapon and Kenyon Sadiq. You also got Omar Cooper later on in the first round too, so you do get a receiver to complement Garrett Wilson, and you know, whoever their quarterback's going to be for the future, I think they're probably going to wait until next year's draft and get either, you know, a Julian Sain or an Arch Manning or a Dante Moore, whoever it is for the future for New York. I mean, they now have a pretty good arsenal of weapons to throw to with Garrett Wilson, Kenyon Sadiq, and Omar Cooper Jr.
Mm-hmm. Two more players still on the board that I'm curious your thoughts on, both linebackers. Jacob Rodriguez from Texas Tech obviously had a huge season with the Red Raiders this past season. And then Jake Golday, who is from Memphis, went to high school at Arlington before going to college. Both those guys obviously had a really nice season at Cincinnati. What do you think of those two guys at the next level of the NFL, and do you expect we see both those guys off the board tonight?
Yeah, I do. I think honestly, probably both in the second round. I think it's a great linebacker class this year. That's probably why, you know, a lot of the guys fell to the second round of the draft. Like C.J. Allen, for example, the linebacker at Georgia, he's still available right now as well. So I think it's an outstanding linebacker class this year. Actually, one of the best linebacker classes I've seen in recent memory. And honestly, it's kind of hurting a lot of the guys in this class too, because like there's so many good ones that teams are like, hey, screw it, we can get a guy in the second or third round that's really, really good as well. And I think Jacob Rodriguez and Jake Golday are certainly in that running. I think both of them should be. I'm not surprised at all that both of them fell out of the first round last night, but I do think both of them should go somewhere, probably in the second round tonight.
I like that. It'd be really, really fun, especially with Golday being from this area. I know a lot of people would be happy to see that. I'm talking with Max Chadwick. He's joining us to talk the draft, but I do want to get to some college football talk with you. Make sure you go give Max a follow on social media at CFB Max Chadwick. Over on the college side of things, the argument about the playoffs, where do you stand? What do you think is the perfect playoff picture moving forward?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think they expand past 12. I don't know what the perfect number is, for example, but I think it should have been bigger than four. I do think it should have been bigger than four. 12 is pretty solid, honestly. I think 8 would have been a number to start off at and see where you go from there. I'm not necessarily against expansion. I do think there's a cap, though. I think there needs to be a cap. You don't want it turning into a March Madness situation, because even though March Madness is awesome and we all love it every year, it does kind of devalue the college basketball regular season a little bit, in my opinion, and you don't really want that to happen in college football. So I don't know what the perfect number is. They are going to expand from 12. I think that's just, you know, it's a matter of when, not if, really, they're going to do that. I don't know what that number will be. I've heard 24 be thrown out there. I'm not necessarily against that, but I'm not necessarily against it. But we'll see what happens. And I do think there is a number that it would be too much, in my opinion. If they go past 24, for example, that'd be way too much, in my opinion.
Max, sorry I have to go back to the NFL. I was not prepared for a college question, but my NFL question, with Mekhi Lemon going to the Eagles, do they have a number one wide receiver right now, or will they be looking for one given A.J. Brown possibly moves?
I think they do. I think Devontae Smith is certainly a number one receiver, and I think Mekhi Lemon could become a number one receiver in the NFL as well. I think it's the one thing I'll say, and I do love Mekhi Lemon. He was my top receiver in the draft and should have been drafted way earlier than number 20 overall, in my opinion. But the one thing I'll say for it is a little bit of a weird fit in Philadelphia, considering, you know, Devontae Smith and Mekhi Lemon and Dontavian Wicks they have in that receiver room, too. It's a lot of kind of similar players. And also, I don't know if I love Mekhi Lemon's fit with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback. Because Mekhi Lemon, you know, he makes his mark, you know, in the short and intermediate range of the field. Jalen Hurts is a deep ball passer, right? He's always chasing the deep ball. So maybe he'll adjust to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. Maybe Jalen Hurts will adjust to him. It is a little bit of a weird fit, but I do love the pick, even though overall, though, because I do think if you do trade away A.J. Brown, you needed another receiver. And in my opinion, the Eagles got the best receiver in the draft, Mekhi Lemon.
I think they will have to adjust because their new OC runs the West Coast offense, right? So it will be a lot of more short stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think my takeaway from this conversation is, as a Cowboys fan, I should be terrified about having to see Mekhi Lemon in the future. Oh. Cause
you got Darren Woodson, dude. You drafted the next Darren Woodson, man. I'm with you.
That would be a really fun matchup to watch. One more college question before we get out of here. As spring football is wrapping up everywhere, who's kind of the team to watch just going into the fall? Maybe not the team that everybody's talking about right now, but could have a big season next year.
Oh, interesting. Man, that's a good question, because I think, you know, the teams to beat right now, in my opinion, I think the two best teams in the country, talent-wise, are Texas and Oregon. Those are the two teams that kind of put above everyone else right now. I think Alabama's fascinating. I think it really could be a pivotal year, this upcoming year, for Alabama. They've got a lot of new pieces, and I'm really curious to see how they handle all of that. I think Texas Tech could even take a step forward from this past year. Even after an incredible year this past year, they could really take a step forward. I think Cal in the ACC could really become a true contender in that conference against Miami, who I think Miami is kind of the team to beat right now in that conference. But Cal could really give them a run for their money with all the moves that they're making as well. But, yeah, right now I would say Texas and Oregon, with everything they brought in and everyone they brought back, they seem like the two teams to beat in college football right now.
You mentioned Alabama in there. What did you make of the DeBoer extension?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't know if I personally would have done it. I think, you know, he's, like I said, this upcoming year for Alabama is going to be really interesting. And I don't think, I'm not going to project them to make the playoff right now. And if they don't make the playoff, I think you could see some Alabama fans getting a little bit restless with the Crimson Tide. But now that you extended him, I mean, you're pretty much tied to the hip with him, unless you want to pay out a massive, massive buyout to fire him. So it was interesting. It sure was interesting. Now, I know why they did it, because they think he can be a great coach for them, and I kind of agree with that, too. And he's been doing an amazing job on the recruiting trail. And obviously, you know, there's talks of him leaving for Michigan, so you kind of want to lock him down, and I understand that. But I do think it's interesting timing right now, because I think Alabama could be in for a disappointing year this year.
Wow, yeah, it feels like a very interesting year coming up for Alabama. Well, Max, before we let you go, tell people where they can find you and where they can get more of you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at CFB Max Chadwick, and then also Dalton Wasserman and I host the Preferred Walk-On College Football Show. So we have a 2027 mock draft coming out in a couple of days,
all right,
and then right back to college football talk, man. All position rankings, position unit rankings, previewing every team in the country. Should be a really, really fun spring and summer for us on the Preferred Walk-On College Football Show.
Yeah, sounds like a blast. It was a blast following along last night, all the videos with each pick throughout the night. So I know you are pumping out some great content over there. I love when we get the chance to have you on. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll definitely have to do this again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Max. Max Chadwick joining us to talk all things NFL draft, college football. Make sure you go give him a follow at CFB Max Chadwick, and also his podcast, the Preferred Walk-On Podcast. They do a great job over there. Like I said, I mean,
Did you hear him, Will?
Oh, man, I did.
The best player in the draft.
No, that was good.
That's the portion.
That was the part I kind of forgot about as we kept going on, because I kept hearing lemon.
The best player in the draft. Dude, I was so happy for, I mean, like I said, I like Dak now. I want Dak to win. Not a Cowboy fan by any stretch. But when you can do anything to help Dak win, I'm all for it. And I wholeheartedly believe I'm with him.
Like, I feel like I'm usually very, like, I keep things under wraps, especially during drafts,
yeah,
or when I'm watching sports. Like, I'm not one that gets overly into the game. Like, I'm just watching the game, enjoying it, but I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not living and dying with every play. And last night, when the Cowboys moved up a spot, and I saw Caleb Downs still on the board, I was acting like a kid.
Like, if you don't go to that spot, you think?
I really don't know. I think
maybe he could have been taken, because he would have probably been best on the board, you know, best available on the board easily.
My guess, see, here's the thing, because Miami has a lot of issues. They've got new general manager, new coach, everything's new. So I don't really know what their idea was going into the draft that night. Were they just going to take best available? If they were going to take best available, well, then maybe Caleb Downs was the guy. But here's the thing. If the Dolphins were sold on Caleb Downs as our guy, they wouldn't have traded with the Cowboys, knowing that the Cowboys were coming up to get Caleb Downs.
They wanted a lineman to help. Yeah.
What I assume happened is that the Cowboys got wind that people were making calls to Miami to move up to that spot to take Downs, and that Miami was open to those conversations, and they said, we got to put a stop to that. We have to be the team that moves up a spot, take Downs, give up a couple of late-round draft picks, get our guy, and then we'll move forward. And then you saw them, I think, you know, we talked about it off air. I didn't love the move to make a trade with your divisional rival, but you make the trade, you fall back a couple spots, you add a couple of picks that you kind of lost early with that trade. So I thought it was a great night.
The Giants didn't take Downs, in all honesty, at 10. I mean, I understand the offensive tackle, and you have to keep Dart out of the blue tent. Like, I think that was 100% the train of thought right there. You got to keep Dart out of the blue tent.
So I think, and I don't know this at all, but based on watching the draft and how the mock drafts were looking at it, because you saw a lot of people have New York maybe even trade back and kind of fall back, figure things out, and take somebody. It felt to me that the Giants were very open to moving or maybe just taking somebody, whether it was Caleb Downs or Manungai, who they ended up drafting, or an offensive lineman, doing something with that number five pick. When Arville Reese dropped all the way to five, I think they sat there and said, we've got to take this guy.
Yeah,
we can't pass on this guy. He's fallen too far. This is our guy. They take him. Then they come back at 10 where they're kind of sitting there, okay, we already got a defensive player. We really need to add to the offense. We've got a young quarterback. We've got a young running back. You know, we need to add to the offensive line. Let's go take an offensive lineman and move on.
According to the ESPN rankings, Reese and Francis – what is it? How do I pronounce it?
Manungai.
Both number one overall at their position. Wow. So to get those guys at five and what was it? Five and ten.
Five and ten. Yeah,
I think can't do better than it.
I think it was a really good draft for them. So we talked about it earlier. I think what the NFC East did last night, I thought was really, really strong. We did this off air. We should have done it on air, but you listed a bunch of players. Said
who joined the NFC East yesterday? You got Arville Reese, Sonny Styles, Manungai, what's this? Caleb Downs and Mekhi Lemon. Uh-huh. Those are all. I mean,
and
of course,
Malachi Lawrence.
And Malachi Lawrence. Yeah, forget about Lawrence on there.
I mean, it's strong. You know, I thought it was a really good draft for that division, and I think I heard Eli talk about it earlier today, where you know he's glad that they got Downs. He's ecstatic they got Downs. I don't know how excited he is about moving forward, seeing some of those other guys a couple times every year. It's not for a while. I think it's late third round. They have the 92nd overall pick. That's the 28th pick in the third round. They do not have a second round pick. Do we see them, move up? I have no idea what they're going to do. But if they just sit still, you won't see them until late in the third round. So
92.
Oof. Yeah, so it could be a quiet night for the Dallas Cowboys. But we need to get to another break. When we return, we got to talk about what's trending. We might talk some more NFL draft, might talk some NBA, might talk some baseball. A lot of options we have, a lot trending right now. But we'll do that next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time, Bryant and Darian with you as we've got a little bit less than 30 minutes left in today's show. Uh-oh, you seeing the news that's breaking right now, Darian Newsome? Sharania has tweeted that Houston's Kevin Durant been ruled out for Game 3 against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hey, I am going to take that with class. I am not going to.
Bro played one game, realized he wasn't built for it.
He wasn't built for it when he goes up against the King,
All right.
So we're gonna be melancholy right now because who knows?
You will.
You can have an Amen Thompson game or the Shingun game that we're waiting on. Mm-hmm. That can easily happen, or a 41-year-old can tweak something. So we shall not put the cart before the horse.
So I knew I should, because I was gonna bet the Lakers +8.5. I was gonna bet the Lakers +8.5 for all day. But I am terrible. I am not one that can sit there and bet, wait or bet it early. I'm always one that I'm betting it the second I see it. And so I just looked. The market is closed for Laker Rockets bets. It just opened at Rockets as a 7.5-point favorite.
Oh, yeah. I got them at 9.5, baby.
Wow. Look
I got
you.
The Lakers at 9.5.
That 7.5 scares me.
And I took the under listening to Bruce, I took the under 206.
That 7.5 scares me. It really does.
You're giving 7.5 now, right?
Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. You said it got up to 9.5.
I got 9.5.
Okay. I saw it at 8.5. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Durant is not playing for the Rockets. A Rockets team that has already lost 2 games. And he's out now. And that line only moved 1 point. Vegas knows everybody's going to hop on the Lakers now because Kevin Durant's out.
Oh, so the Lakers are not the favorite now?
No.
It just moved a point.
Yes.
I thought it swung all the other way around.
No. It has moved.
They're giving some credence to home court. They got to.
Right, but I expected this. That's why I tried to get on it so fast of trying to beat the books, which that was stupid. I should have. Now it's already moved to 6.5. I'm betting the Rockets. And if the Lakers cover or the Lakers win, I eat that. Because Vegas is begging you to take the Lakers now. They know everybody's going to take the Lakers. They're begging people to take the Lakers.
They're probably betting on the others to completely not show up. You know the whole not at home pressure, just what 1 for 16 for Marcus Smart all of a sudden, you know, instead of 25 points. They're betting that you don't get 25 from Marcus Smart. They're betting that light him up Luke doesn't light him up tonight. So and it's probable. I mean, totally probable because they're role players.
We'll see what happens.
I got that 9.5, baby. So
yeah, that's a good deal. Yeah. So that's the second game tonight. First game, Boston and 76ers. Since we're talking about some odds, I want to go through this because I saw this last night. I thought it was very interesting, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit. And I want to get to some other things for tonight. So last night we had the NFL draft, and the odds, this is from John Ewing on social media, on Twitter, at John Ewing, odds to be selected in NFL draft by pick at BetMGM.
That's hard.
Fernando Mendoza, clear favorite. Everybody knew he was going to go. He was
minus
10,000.
There you go. Yeah, minus 10.
David Bailey to go number 2.
Minus 4.
No, David Bailey was not the favorite. I had money on David Bailey to be pick number 2. Plus 175.
I thought he moved to the favorite.
He might have. This might have closed. I got him at like plus 250 or something like that yesterday during the day.
Okay.
David Bailey closed at plus 175. Jeremiah Love at the third pick, minus 110. So everyone kind of bought into the sportsbooks bought into the all the smoke around him going number 3. Carnell Tate. What were the odds for Carnell Tate to be taken number 4 overall?
Plus 1,000.
Plus 5,000. That is insane. Arvel Reese to go number 5. He was the favorite to go number 2. What were the odds for him to go number 5?
If that was 4 and that was a lesser player, this is a greater player at one slot back. I'm going to say more than at 5.
Plus 2,000. Which is interesting.
Okay.
I was saying 1,600.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were really close. It makes sense. Carnell Tate, I don't think many people thought he would be in the top 10. Arvel Reese, you knew he was going to be in the top 10, so I guess there's a little bit more to that. Delane at 6. The Kansas City moving up to get Delane. What were the odds for Delane to go 6 overall?
That's plus 7.
How much more than what Arvel at 5 was?
I can't tell you that.
No, yeah, you try to do math. No, I'm with him. I'm playing the game with him. I got him. That's plus 750.
You think plus 750?
I'm saying
Delane
plus
goes
like 6,000.
You're much closer to it than Darian is.
You said what?
I said plus 6,000.
Plus 6? I thought he was a top 10 type of player. Anyway.
A lot of people thought he was going to go around 10.
So that's
10
right. Yeah, I'm lost
right
now.
But not that high in the draft.
Plus 10,000 for Delane to go 6.
Well, and I think it's also important to note that that was the Browns pick.
That's true.
That was traded to the Chiefs. So the Chiefs came in with the mindset of knowing what they needed to get.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So the glasses make you smarter.
I think so.
Okay.
Sonny Styles, 7th, plus 500. Jordan Tyson, 8th, plus 220. Spencer Fano, 9th, plus 700. And Francis Menungai at 10.
Does it go a little deeper than that? Because the one I'm curious about is Bane.
No, I only see the.
Because that had to be enormous for Bane to go, what, 15?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely was probably all over the place. Now, my next question for you is tonight your team on the board in 20 minutes.
Yep.
They will be making the pick, their first pick of the NFL draft. So here's my question to you. Who will be number 33 pick to the San Francisco 49ers?
I'm gonna get out of my Toledo safety pick because when Max was running off names, he didn't mention a safety. He mentioned all edges. So not sure the edge, but I'm going edge because he's not of the opinion that Hufanga needs to be replaced.
Who's the top edge available? That would be Zion Young.
What's that? Missouri.
Plus 850 for him to be the
That'd
first
be a good pick.
Man, that ain't bad. What's a plus 850?
The favorite is your guy from Toledo, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, is plus 200. Denzel Boston, the wide receiver, plus 275. Mm-hmm. Cade McDonald, plus 275. Chase Bezantis, he is plus 600. Colton Hood, plus 750. So
I'd say an edge or Hood, because I'm thinking that the medicals on Jabbar is just sums up.
How about this? And I think this is really interesting. Who has pick number 34, Darian Newsome?
Pick 34, that would
I like
be...
his full name.
The Cardinals.
Addressing him with his government
Cardinals.
Name.
That's the Cardinals.
Who do you think is the favorite to be taken at pick 34 to the Arizona Cardinals?
Nussmeier.
You're on the right track.
Either Landon. That or Lar.
Drew. Beck?
Carson Beck.
Yeah,
is the favorite.
I want to ask man, what's wrong with Carson? He said he doesn't think Carson would be taken to the fourth round.
Plus 350 for Carson Beck to be pick in,
Light and Tushy or something?
He got the job done last year, yeah. But they also relied on their defense a lot.
Yeah, he had a cast around him.
Yeah, he had some good players. Okay, what were the other odds for tonight? So here's another one. Carson Beck to be drafted in round two. What do you think the odds for Carson Beck to be drafted in
plus
the second
five.
Round?
Plus 5,000.
For him to be drafted in the second
hold on,
round?
Hold on. If you just tell me, they got to be lower. I'm going to say plus 1,000. I go lower, but
I'll
not
take off as a circle. I'll go like plus 500.
Minus 300. So Vegas thinks Carson Beck's going to be the next quarterback taken off the board.
I mean, it makes sense. He was in the national championship.
It makes sense.
SEC quarterback.
Garrett Nussmeier to be drafted in the second round.
Is worse than he is, really? Obviously. So you say, hold on, what was Beck? Beck was just what? Minus what?
So Carson Beck was minus 300. What is Garrett Nussmeier?
Minus 150.
Okay, Landon?
Let's go plus 300.
Very close. Plus 220 for Garrett Nussmeier to be drafted in the second round.
It's the glasses, Darian.
That's exactly what it is.
What you said? I'm trying to say you whooping me right now in this little game?
I ain't saying that. You did.
For Carson Beck and Garrett Nussmeier to both be drafted in the second round, plus 475. For both of them, plus 475.
And it doesn't matter where, right?
Nope, just both of them drafted in the second round, plus 475.
Both.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that Bills trade that the Titans had took our second round, didn't it?
The Bills are after the Cardinals, so the Bills have.
Yes,
I think that's where the
yes,
Titans
that
been.
Is. That's a
you know
trade.
What they have the little trade dilly yeah, little so, marker right there. So yeah, I don't know who they traded with.
Yeah,
but
no,
I guess
that was the Titans because Titans don't have a second round pick. So, yep,
that sucks.
Who would you take if the Titans had the third pick tonight? Who would you take?
Jake Slaughter.
Okay, interesting.
I don't trust Austin Schlottman, and that's about all you got at center right now. Yeah. Jake Slaughter would be a great pick.
Okay, I don't mind it.
So, that trade was per who with Buffalo?
Bills and Titans.
Bills and Titans. What was the trade?
Titans got the Bills' first round pick, that number 31 pick.
Okay, okay.
And so, I think we gave the Bills both of our second round picks.
Yeah,
because
I'm
looking,
dude. I'm like, y'all were screwed. No picks in the second round at all.
Yeah, we gave them away of all for Keldrick Falk.
That's right.
Or Julius Peppers. Or he could be Julius Peppers, dog.
That's right.
Okay, you're not back up to the fifth pick to round number three. You're 69.
It's going to be a quiet night for the Titans. Quiet night.
And that's where I think the whole Tate thing gets exacerbated, because if you take that boom or bust type of approach with him, like, yeah, I want you to cream me and say he's not good, but you don't have another pick until beginning of the third round. Man,
there's a lot of top quality players that are going to be gone.
Top heavy is all get out, man.
Other news around the draft, 49ers, according to Adam Schefter, 49ers have had talks throughout the day about trading the first pick of the second round, the number 33 overall selection. So far, no offer enticing.
Okay, I thought you were
going to
tell me about Mac.
So,
leave Mac alone.
No, it looks
and
like.
How dare my coach address that last night? No offers for Mac. You keep that in-house. We're not the Dallas Cowboys. We're not he's playing under the franchise tag. You don't have to say this stuff. Who is making you say this stuff?
I don't know.
Who made Shanahan say no offers were there for Mac yesterday?
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre last
night. That's stupid, right?
The other news, this out of the NBA, Nikhil Alexander-Walker has won most improved player this year. Obviously, was a huge pickup for Atlanta this offseason, played a massive role for
them. And his cousin will win MVP later.
And yes, his cousin will, in fact, win MVP. SGA continuing to do SGA things. But we need to get to our final break of the day. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com is your go-to for all your taco Crunch Time emergencies. Well, Darian, what I learned today, we talked about it earlier, the first round last night, a lot quicker. It was snappy. We were getting in and out between picks, and I learned today that last night's NFL draft lasted 2 hours and 53 minutes. The 2007 NFL draft, first round, according to Front Office Sports, lasted 6 hours and 8 minutes. So we have made great progress over the last couple of years. Not couple, because 2007, yeah, that's been a while. But we've made some progress, and seeing it from just last year to last night, getting it under 3 hours. Whew, man, that was great last night.
All right, what I learned today is that the NFL is the gift that keeps on giving, and the San Francisco 49ers, by trading out of the first round, leave themselves at the top of the second round, and not sure who we're going to go get, but per Max, Max told me, get out of the safety business, so not sure who we're going to get, but I know it won't be a safety.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, but it'll be interesting to see who they ultimately take. What I could have done without the story coming out of Fayetteville, as it was reported earlier this morning, Arkansas is discontinuing its men's and women's tennis programs, the first program cuts by the Razorbacks since men's swimming and diving in the early 1990s. This will leave Arkansas with 17 sports. This comes from Matt Jones, who covers the Razorbacks for Whole Hog Sports. And then we got the official statement from the university, and this comes from Hunter Yurecek. After considerable reflection and thoughtful discussion, we have made the very difficult decision to discontinue our men's and women's tennis programs. We understand the disappointment and emotion this news will bring to many. The landscape of college athletics continues to evolve, requiring us to make challenging choices as we balance competitive opportunities, resources, and long-term sustainability to our department. Ultimately, we concluded that we are unable to provide the level of support necessary for our tennis programs to consistently compete in the SEC and nationally at the standard our student athletes, coaches, alumni, and supporters deserve. We appreciate the efforts of the coaching staff along with our current and former student athletes. And as Ross Dellinger said in this tweet, we haven't seen many power conference schools eliminate sports. Arkansas axes its tennis programs. So we'll see if more to come from that, but certainly a big story out of Arkansas.
All right, what I could have done without today is a little bit off the beaten path. I learned today that politician G.A. Hardaway of Memphis, Tennessee, passed away today. And G.A., regardless of which side he's on, he was a man that fought for just righteousness. And he treated me well when I had my little club downtown. So I could have done without G.A. Hardaway. And in learning that, I also learned that Memphis is not voting right now during the early voting period right now. Only 11% of Memphis have voted.
Wow.
People, regardless of who you vote for, go and vote.
Go vote.
Let's go and vote. Right. So where are you beaming tonight?
That's a great question. I will be watching the second round of the NFL draft. I do not think I will be beaming to that, but I will beam out to Portland, see the Spurs-Blazers game on Prime later tonight. We'll see. I don't think Victor Wembanyama is going to play.
Better
his game-time decision. We haven't gotten anything official, but I do think the Spurs team can still beat Portland without Wimby, but that should be a fun game.
I would actually leave him at home for both games and not put him on the flight. That's just me. Beam me to Houston, baby.
Yeah,
no Kevin Durant, baby. Send me front row with some Rocket Girls and some Laker
Real
Girls.
Real quick morning period.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, it's going to be a fun night, a fun weekend tonight. A whole lot of Major League Baseball. We've got the three NBA games that start at 6 o'clock with Celtics and 76ers. Lakers, Rockets after that. Spurs, Blazers. You got NHL as well. UFL in action tonight, so a little football if you want that. In addition, two round twos and three of the NFL
Renegades, right?
Draft. Yes, we are Renegade fans on this show. But that's all time we have. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday afternoon.